Will said there's roasts in the refrigerator and the office.
Cooler. In the foyer.
And call Mary Allison in case you didn't hear that. She'll tell you a recipe.
So Keith asked a question. He loves me. How many can relate to that? How many can relate to that? How many can relate to that in more than one way? Like many different facets of God's love, right? It's like you can relate to it? No. What do I have to do? It's on. The mute's off. Hello, testing, 1, 2, 3. You want to see it? Test. There we go. I don't know. I didn't do that. What is that? Somebody hit that side button. So, yeah. He loves me. Glory to God. He loves me. Glory to God for loving me, right? And that's what I want to talk about today, glory. And when I started looking at it, I didn't realize just quite how deep it was. But glory, in the Greek, it's doxa, it says in a wide application, this word, in a wide application, literal, figurative, objective, and subjective. And then Webster's defines glory. In the Greek, it says this Greek word means glory. So what does glory mean? Praise, honor, or distinction. Glory to God. Distinction would be like holy, right? He's like separate. A state of great gratification or exaltation. Glory to God. Te doy gloria. I give you glory, right? Great gratification or exaltation. Great beauty and splendor. The splendor of the King wrapped in majesty. How great is our God. Let's splendor. Great beauty. Beauty and splendor. Magnificence. And so this word itself has a broad definition. It says applied in many ways. I was like, well, how broad is it? Just in the Bible, how broad. And so I started going through it. Well, we have man's glory. All flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. But guess what happens? The grass withers, the flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. The glory of man is short. 1 Corinthians 11:7. Woman is the glory of man, and it's evident in newlyweds. Look at that glory Mark has back there. And it deep, deep glory in long marriages. I was thinking of Pastor Bob Colbin. His wife, Chris, has dementia, but he just loves her unconditionally, and she's his glory. And it's like Christ loving the church, and we're his glory. And then 1 Corinthians 11:15, if a woman has long hair, it is a glory to her. And it's speaking of order, and she's glorious. And you think of like man or woman's glory, intelligence, beauty. You could go to Harvard or MIT. You could create amazing photography or art. You could be skilled. You could be hardworking. Many, 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 many great attributes, but the glory of man is like a flower. It doesn't last, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, because the glory of God is eternal and it's so much higher than our glory. So man's glory in Christ, you know, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of the Lord. And we are created in the image of God to have a relationship with God. And he wants us in his glory, but we fall short. And 1 Corinthians 15:41-43, For one star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in dishonor, raised in glory. The resurrection has glory, and this relationship with God has glory. And our glory in Christ is not separate from his glory. Yeah, he poured it out in us and reflected it on us. This is Romans 9:23. Romans 9:23-24. And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called. Isn't that amazing? But it's the riches of his glory, but he prepared us for glory. And it's like he pours it out in us and he reflects it in us. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror. It's a reflection, right? A mirror. Like the moon reflects the sun. The glory of the Lord and being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what transforms us into glory, from glory to glory, being transformed into his image? His Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. Romans 8:18, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. We have a glory in us that shall be revealed, and it's his glory in us. And in Christ's glory, his very glory, and Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, who being the brightness of his glory. Think of beauty, splendor, magnificence. Yeah, think of all those. Like, just think of his glory, and Jesus is the brightness of that. And Jesus is the brightness of that. What did they say when the angel said, Jesus is coming? They said, glory to God in the highest. Jesus is the brightness of God's glory, and it reflects and presents and manifests the highest glory that God has is in Jesus Christ. He's the brightness of his image. 2 Corinthians 2:8, had they known, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's his name, the Lord of glory. Hebrews 13:21, Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And we could expand on this and go on and on in this category. Then I noticed that there are some books that end with the glory of God in the book. Like, that's pretty important. Like, the last things he says, usually it's like a benediction, like grace and mercy unto you or something like that. Romans 16:27, to God alone be wise. Here's another thing. I notice a couple words that keep popping up or that are associated with glory. One is like our suffering. It's associated with glory. And then one of them is his wisdom, God's wisdom. To God alone be wise, be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. God gets glory through Jesus. How? His obedience, his resurrection, and his victory. You know, all of this is, it reflects who God is. And Colossians 2:2b-3, it says, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Like, God, to God alone wise. It tells you something about Jesus. Philippians 4:20. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Ending the entire book with this. It's really important, right? I want you to remember this. To God be glory forever and ever. Glorify him. Magnify him. Put him as separate. See his beauty, his splendor, his majesty. To God be the glory. Isn't there a song about that? To God be the glory. There's a bunch of songs about that, actually. 2 Timothy 4:18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. The Lord is glorified by the finished work of the cross. He did it and it's done. And you can rest because he will do it. He who began a good work in you will complete it. You know, Philippians 1:6. So this one, I'm going to go in a little more detail. This is at the end of a book, but it just really struck me. But the God of all grace will, and in John 1, it calls Jesus full of grace and truth. So the God of all grace who called us, he called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus. So it's tied to the gospel. After you had suffered a while, and we could go into this as like one category, but I'm going to focus on God in this verse instead of us. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. To him. To him. To who? Who's him? To the God of all grace. He's the God of all grace. To him. To the God of all grace. To him be glory. To the God of all grace be glory. To who? To the one who called you. Who called us. That's who. The God of all grace who called us. And like, it's so important, like, to concentrate on the Word of God, right? Isn't it fun? Isn't it fun just to fellowship around the Word? We're, like, receiving, like, his thoughts by grace. Like, we receive it. He's just giving it to us. Here you go. Through the Holy Spirit. He gives us things. There's a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. That guy, the one who called us, he called me to have my name written down. And then we've been going through Ephesians Thursday nights. Ephesians 1, 17 to 18. It's a prayer of Paul that God would give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What is the hope of his calling? And there, calling is tied to glory again. It's pretty neat. The hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? And he will, what will he do? There's will. The God of all grace will, and then it's like a parenthesis, all this. And then will perfect. I already heard it. Somebody said perfect us. Establish us. Strengthen us. And settle us. Settle you. Who? You? Are you going to perfect yourself? Are you going to establish yourself? Are you going to strengthen yourself? Are you going to settle yourself? To him be the glory. To him be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. For the things he has done and is doing and will do. 2 Peter 3:18. Jesus Christ, to him be the glory both now and forever. Jude, the end of Jude. Now to him, to who? To him, who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Really? How's he going to do that? Present me faultless. That's impossible. And what did the angels say to Mary? With God, all things are possible, right? Mary was like, how can this be since I don't know a man? How can this be since I'm full of faults? With God, all things are possible because he washes us with his blood, right? He makes us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. I don't know whose joy that is. Is that God's joy or our joy? I think it's both. With exceeding joy. End of Jude. To God our Savior, who alone is wise. There it is again. The glory and the wisdom tied together. The same one in Romans 16:27. Be glory and majesty and dominion and power both now and forever. Amen. So then, why and how is this glory manifested? Well, creation, this is pretty straightforward. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things. You know, who gets the glory? God gets the glory. Who's the creator? Colossians 1:15-16. Jesus Christ is the creator, right? God is the creator. He gets the glory. To God be the glory. You created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. And God's love for the lost, the gospel, Romans 9:23-24, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, even us, which he prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called. Like, he showed mercy on us. That's amazing. That's glory. In the gospel, and also the one where the shepherds appeared and said, here's Jesus, glory to God in the highest. The gospel has come, because he's the good news. 2 Corinthians 4:3-4, but even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. It's like, wow. And so the glory of Christ is revealed in the gospel. It's like amazing. It's another facet of his glory. We have all these different facets of his glory, right? And I would say any aspect of God, you'd have all the different facets of his holiness, of his love, of his, like, who he is. There's so many different facets of that. He's deep. He's very deep. And I like last week, a lot of things that were said, but Pastor Sibeli said the Corinthians church that was having a problem with selfishness and were focusing on their own personal gifts. In was it chapter 9? He mentioned the gospel, I think it was 12 times. The gospel, the gospel, gospel. Like, turn your focus to some. There's more. You don't have to be focused on yourself. And then also, Paul turned their attention in 1 Corinthians 13 to what? To love for the body, right? So that's the last one, love for the body. Romans 15:7, therefore receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. When you receive a brother or sister, it's to the glory of God. That's pretty neat. Anybody ever been received like that? Like, isn't it neat? Like, you meet somebody you don't even hardly know, and they're like, receive you. It could be a very short conversation, but there's like this intense fellowship. It's like, I know this person. This person has Christ in them. And receive each other to the glory of God. When we love each other, God's glorified. God's love for the lost, God's love for the saints. I used my grandparents' church. There used to be this guy. He'd get up and he'd give announcements, and he'd always say, "Good morning, saints." That's how he'd start it. I keep forgetting to do that. I also keep forgetting to repeat the prayer request. Good job, Mark. Like, I got up there. I was like, I'm going to do this. I had it written down. I forget to repeat them for the elderly people who can't hear so much. But, Yeah. And so love for the saints. And we've touched on this too, and we're not going to go into a lot, but it's very important: persecution, suffering, and rejection. If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest on you. It's a Spirit resting on you. That's pretty neat. And in the resurrection, speaking at Romans 6:4, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. His glory elicits praise. It elicits praise to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. Now, this is a particular aspect of his glory, the glory of his grace. His glory is his nature. It's so great, it is a part in every aspect of who he is glorious. He is glorious and worthy to be praised, right? There's a song about that, isn't there? You are glorious and worthy to be praised. He is. To the praise of his glory. Oh, this is the next verse. Ephesians 1:13. Having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The finished work is beautiful and so magnificent. Right? Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession? To the praise of his glory. To the praise of his glory. Praise God that he's finished it. And then everyone and everything will acknowledge his glory. I'm trying to think. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. That's a song too. Philippians 2:10-11, that the name of Jesus Christ, at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on the earth and of those under the earth. I think this is talking about people, right? They have knees. Every knee shall bow. It says, in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. To the glory of God. And then check this one out. Oh. Every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea. Now, people don't live in the sea, right? So this is like every creature and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessed and honor and glory. I think we sang this song. And power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Isn't that the song, Adonai? That was a verse in there. I was just like, I don't know why. Oh, me of little faith. God gives me a message, and then I come in here, and he just confirms it. I'm like, Lord, like, breathe on this. And we sing that song. I'm like, oh, my gosh. Like, what are the odds of that? You know, the exact verse that I'm quoting in my message is on the song. It's like the same spirit. It's the same spirit. And it's not like we have to know anything new, right? Because God gives us a little different facet. We know what the color blue looks like, right? But have you ever seen a different shade? You know, and like, we see it and it's beautiful. And so we were talking Thursday about Spurgeon, and this is, it was a longer quote. It's a really good quote, but I'm just going to take a piece of it. He says, it is a manifold mercy. I'm just talking about the glory of mercy, of this aspect of God. As Bunyan says, all the flowers in God's garden are double. There is no single mercy. You may think you have but one mercy, but you shall find it a whole cluster of mercies. It is abounding mercy. Millions have received it, yet far from it being exhausted. It is as fresh, as full, and as free as ever. It is unfailing mercy. But yet, it's only one aspect of God's glory, and it has so many facets to it, right? And how beautiful the glory of who he is and what he's done. All his attributes. And so turn to your neighbor and tell them an attribute of God or a characteristic of God. You know, like he knows everything or he's love, or just tell him something. Tell me, Dean. Come on. He's love. He loves me unconditionally. That's just amazing. All his attributes. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. So much glory. Omnipotent. What is that? Like omniscient, omnipresent. Like he knows everything. He's everywhere. Holy. He's light. Eternal. Past and future eternality. Creator. Mercy. There's so much to glory, just so much. And of this, I think of Ephesians 1:6, the glory of his grace. And 1 Peter 4:10 says his manifold grace. And what it says, be good stewards of the manifold grace of God. And before that, it's talking about the gifts of the Spirit that we have, and to minister those gifts and be good stewards of them, for the manifold grace of God. And it talks about, you know, like the glory of his grace in Ephesians 1:6. So as you come into church and people are being good stewards of the manifold grace of God, of these different gifts within the body, right? So you have different gifts within the body? There's different gifts. And it's manifold grace of God in the body. You're seeing these different aspects of God right here with each other. And it's like, wow, the glory of his grace in Ephesians 1:6. And you can actually look at other people and smile and be like, God's amazing. Look at this diversity in the unity around Christ. God is light and a rainbow of color. Like on the throne in heaven, there's a green circular rainbow. Like, wow, I can imagine, like, is it all one color? Is it different shades? And is it, like, I don't know. But it's, I guarantee it's beautiful. It's deep. It's, like, mesmerizing, spectacular, magnificent. It's glorious. And so many colors. Just take one. Like, think of green. All the green grass. All the green on the trees. Everywhere you go, there's green. He leads me to green pastures. It like represents rest. Like we rest in him, right? But think about blue. They say blue could represent the presence of God because he's everywhere present. You have blue skies. And as we were singing one of the songs, there was a picture of the sun. And I was thinking, wow, at nighttime you don't see the blue skies. You see the blue stars though, right? He's still got blue represented there. His presence is still there. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, you comfort me. So at night, there's still blue stars. He's still with me. But in the daytime, in the glory of the sun, the glory of the sun is one, the glory of the moon is another, and each one of the stars differs in glory. In the glory of the sun, you can see blue all over. Isn't that amazing? But without the sun, you can't see it all over. You look up at the sky, it's blue. Anybody been like, wow, look how blue that sky is? Or when you got little puffy clouds in it, it's a light blue, a dark blue. It's like amazing. One time, we went to this place called Crater Lake in Oregon. And it was a nice sunny day. It was like mid-70s or low 80s, no humidity. And we went up, and there were these overlooks, and you could look down, and you could see this blue lake. And it was like, whoa, I've never seen anything so blue in all my life. And we get in the car, we go about an eighth of a mile, be another overlook. We pull off and be like, whoa, I forgot how blue it was. I mean, it was like 2 minutes ago and I forgot. It was so blue. It was so amazing. And that's us, Crater Lake. But yeah, each stop, and we didn't take many pictures, but somebody snuck that one. We're the type of people that would be like, remember they got the digital cameras? We're like, all right, we can take as many pictures as we want now. And we go on a hike, be like, you bring the camera? No, did you bring the camera? We got to bring the camera. Next time, let's bring the camera. So next time, don't forget the camera. We got the camera. Got the camera? We got the camera. We get home. Did you take any pictures? No, did you take any pictures? But it was nevertheless, a picture doesn't really do it justice anyway. You actually have to see it, right? And we forget, like we think the picture does, but when you see it in real life, it's like, and so here's Crater Lake, and with different angles of the sun, or maybe different sunny days, it just says, and it, the picture doesn't do it justice. It does not do it justice. And so think of the blue skies. This is literally a sky, a picture of a sky. That's crazy, crazy blue. And then these different blues, the majesty, the glory of God. Creation reveals the glory of God. Like, think of this as like one attribute of God, like his grace, the glory of his grace. There's so many different, the multifaceted grace of God. There's so many different reflections when the light hits it differently, different shades and different mixtures even, you know, but it's still grace. It's still God's grace. And I was thinking of the stars, the blue stars. They say the blue ones are the brightest ones, but I think the sun's the brightest. Is that blue? Is that a blue star, the sun?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. The sun's the brightest. But anyway, the, you know, blue stars in addition to that. 1 Corinthians 15:41, for one star differs from another star in glory. It's amazing. They're glorious. And you think about one manifestation of God's grace differs from another manifestation of God's grace. And like, that's the cool thing about the Spirit. Like, say, we've been to church, we've sensed the presence of God, and then we sense it again, and it's like we either forgot like how awesome it was, or it's a different facet that he's showing us. He can manifest in like a calm, gentle, just smile on your face, relaxed. He can manifest in like joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has not been told, and just like with a conviction and a holiness and a weeping and a crying and then a release and a joy in that you're healed and that how great he is. Like, there's different manifestations of God, right? But it's all God. It's all Jesus Christ. It's not, I'm not talking about ecumenicalism. I'm talking about how God's working in his kingdom and just the glory and creation reveals that. And then not only is the sky all blue, but we're on the green. We have all this green. I guess it's Florida. And we're surrounded by blue, right? There's more water than there is land. And blue oceans. It's one color, but it's the same color. Like, grace is grace, right? But there's many facets of it. It's God's favor on us, manifested in many ways. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. Glory, 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 somebody touched me. And it was the hand of the Lord. That's glorious, beautiful. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his power he has raised me, right? To God be the glory. God is beautiful and magnificent, infinite ways, and all in Jesus Christ. The angels told the shepherds, glory to God in the highest. It's all through Jesus Christ. He is our all in all, right? And it's manifest. He's the brightness of the Father. How's that verse go? He's the brightness of God. Like we can see it in Christ. We can see the glory of God in Christ. He's the expression of God. Amen. Lord, we worship you. We praise your holy name. Allow us to see glory in every aspect of you, Lord. Just your beauty and your splendor and your majesty, and to give you honor and set you apart in our lives, and to see you as set apart in every area. And we just worship you this morning. We pray that you'll just show us every day from glory to glory. Change us, Lord, to think with you, and that our thoughts would be your thoughts, Lord. That we might decrease and you might increase. And if there's anybody here this morning who sees the glory of God in creation, but you want the fullness, you want to see more, Jesus died on the cross for you, and the fullness is found in Jesus Christ. And he died to pay for your sin. Just call on the name of the Lord. Call on Jesus. Cry out to him. Admit you're a sinner and ask him to save you, and he'll give you abundant grace. We just pray that you'll lead us, Lord, and that we'll be open to go wherever you take us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.